Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Misericordia University Alumni Podcast. I am your host, Class of 2017 and 2019 alumnus, Mike Gambita. Today on the show, we are featuring a postcard profile. This 2018 alumna is reigniting a passion overseas and is also keeping a positive outlook on life. Ladies and gentlemen, an alumni of Misericordia, please welcome Alex Gallagher to the show. Alex, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am very happy that we managed to come up with the time, and our listeners will kind of figure out our whole time difference here. But Alex, let's just jump right into it. What have you been up to since you graduated from Misericordia?
Okay, so this is a little bit of a longer story. So I graduated in 2018. Right after that, I continued the internship that I had previously at Northwestern Mutual doing finance. So I hopped into that as a career for about 8 months. I played soccer in college. So after being in that field for 8 months in the finance world, I've really, really missed being around soccer. So it was time for me to cut the cord with Northwestern Mutual and try to get my focus back on where my passion and the love of game kind of resided in me. So after that, I quit my job with Northwestern, and I was working at as a waitress bartender, and remembered I got an email about this opportunity to play soccer overseas in Europe. And I was like, wow, like that's exactly what I need right now. So I dug into that. I narrowed my choices down to a school in Wales and a school in Italy for a master's program. And at the same time, I get to play soccer over there, which is great. So then I ended up choosing Italy. So I picked up everything, just dropped everything at home and moved to Rome, where I've been since September. I go to Soccer Management Institute now. It's an affiliate of the American University of Rome. So there we do a one-year master's program. We get coaching licenses, and I get the opportunity to play semi-professional or professional soccer at an Italian club. So yeah, that's kind of the long story short version of it all.
Did you find a time when you kind of said to yourself when you were working, I'll just say at home, when you were working at home, was there kind of a big realization being like, I really need to find something else? Like, was there like a tipping point? Was there anything in particular like that that you had?
I don't know if there was an exact moment that clicked in my head where I was like, yeah, no. But I think it was really me understanding and realizing that I didn't want to be in that human life cycle that everyone kind of gets thrown into. You graduate, you find a job, you get married, you have kids, you do the whole thing that everyone does. And it just wasn't fitting right for me. I knew something was off, and I could tell that I wasn't happy, and I just really needed to get back to my roots. And that's where I found the opportunity to move to a different country and kind of really self-reflect and understand what motivates me, what I want to do with my life, as well as have an opportunity to follow my dream and play professional soccer.
Absolutely. And let's kind of go into the daily life of, you know, being at the Institute. Like, I know with some people, the most comparison that they can make is being a grad assistant, but kind of go through like your day by day as far as what activities that happens. You know, do you sit in the classroom? Do you play soccer all night long? Do you go do this?
Yeah.
Like, kind of go through like what at least the typical day at that
right.
Institute.
Okay. I'll give you the typical week.
Sure.
For when everything like was perfectly fine. So, typical week, Monday, class, 8 to 11. That was my soccer methodology course, and I got the privilege to be taught by a Serie A, which is the highest level of soccer in Italy, head coach for Fiorentina. So, that was really, really, really cool. So, I've been, every Monday, I'm with him, with the rest of my classmates for 3 hours. Monday night, I'll have training with my semi-professional team, which is just a train ride away. Tuesday, we have SMI training. So it's the guys and the girls we train together from, 9 to 11, I believe. Right after that, we have a class 11 to 2, I think. That was a, what was that? Like a public speaking, like sports related class. Then we would do, then sometimes I would have a night practice. Wednesday, we had nothing. Sometimes we would do lifting at 11, but then we would have an Italian class for an hour and a half. Then I would have a night practice again. Then Thursday morning, I was doing SMI training with the guys and the girls. I didn't have class usually on Thursday, but then I had training again Thursday night. And then Friday morning, we didn't have any class or anything until Friday night, I had class. And then Saturday, we were completely off. And then Sunday, I would play a game.
Cool. Now you said that you did you learned Italian. Is that correct?
That's a loose term. I would say I have a good understanding. I'm not the best Italian speaker,
Sure.
but I've gotten way better.
Yeah. Could you give me a little? Like, give me a little bit, like a sentence or two?
Oh gosh. Okay. Mi chiamo Alex.
Okay.
Let's see. Io sono americana.
Okay. Put you on the
I
spot
don't
there, I
even
know.
know. I'm like blacking out.
That's okay. I put you on the spot there.
Yeah, you did. I
That's
wasn't ready for
okay. I got the
that
two were great. Thank you.
No
Now, of
problem.
course. Now, Alex, I know I think as many people, so at the time, just to give our listeners a little bit of a background, these are monthly
Yeah.
podcasts, but at the time of this recording right now, it is March 23rd, 2020, and one of the things in particular that I thought at first, as some people recall, and I really hope, and I think we can all pray for that, by the time this podcast gets released, something would at least be resolved. But we're currently under the pandemic right now, the coronavirus and or COVID-19, as it's called. And obviously, for me, Italy is obviously one of the epicenters. But the first person I legitimately thought of was you, Alex. And I just kind of want to hear like what your experience is. I know this is certainly something that we need a positive outlook on, but I think people and our listeners would be interested to hear how you guys are dealing with it as somebody who's living there right now.
Yeah, totally. Let's see. It's been 14 days of me being in complete quarantine.
Okay.
So that means I am not allowed out of my house unless I'm going to the supermarket or a pharmacy. And also, I'm allowed to go out to exercise. So I can go on a bike ride, I can go on a run. But as of like within the last couple days, now our exercising, we can only go a mile from our house. So there's a ton of police patrolling. If you're found outside, there's been like, I think there's been like 800 arrests for being outside, like without a documentation. You really like can't leave your house. It's like really, really strict. But going back, like when it first kind of started, it was like really hard for all of us here to kind of grasp the reality of it. And if it was like so serious, like is it getting blown out of proportion, which I'm sure everyone in the US kind of had the same feelings towards. Lo and behold, it's completely real. And now we've kind of understood that we probably should have been quarantining a little bit more seriously, a little bit quicker. So yeah, up until like 2, 3 weeks ago, I wasn't really like worried about it, but Northern Italy is just like absolute mess. It's really, really, really sad to like, because I have friends that I've made here and they have so much family and stuff. So like when I talk to them, I'm like, is everything okay? Like, how's your family? How are you? Like, there's a lot of unresolved issues and a lot of speculation around it still, but it seems to be, I want to say it seems to be slowing down, but I'm just trying to be a little optimistic at the same time.
Sure.
It's kind of like a really surreal thing to be going through as an American in Italy. Like, I'm not around my family. Like, I don't really know like how it's affecting like the United States to an extent, I know, but it's different when you're really far from your family and you don't really have the communication like I would be when I was home. But yeah, it's really empty here. Like, this is like almost prime time tourist season, so it's really, really weird to see like these empty streets, and it's sad. Like, this is the most beautiful place that I've ever been, and now it's hard that I can't like enjoy it. But we're praying for Italy. We're doing everything that we possibly can on this end. Like you go outside, you see people. You don't even see that many people, but if you do see people, they're in masks. Like grocery lines, you're 2, 3 feet away from people. Like we're doing like as much as we can here, I think. And I really hope that back home in America, we are taking the same kind of strides because it is serious. And there's a lot of people at home that are like, oh, this is so annoying. You cancel sports, cancel this, cancel that, cancel school. Like, yeah, it's really sad, but like life's not fair. That's sometimes like it does, the dice doesn't roll your way and you got to bite the bullet for the greater humanity. There's people risking their lives to save basically humanity, for lack of better terms. So I don't know. I think we all need to like kind of get a grip and understand the reality and just do the best that we can to stay positive and stay clean.
Sure, absolutely. Now how does this affect your current education, I guess is the best way to put it, but some may people think it's more of an experience for getting your education, but you know, how is it affecting your education right now, as far as the quarantining and all that?
Right. So obviously classes are postponed up until further notice. As of now, we haven't heard back about school. They postponed in-person classrooms till I think it was April 15th, but I'm assuming that that's going to get pushed back even further, if not closed for the rest of the year. So we jumped on to online course, and then we were supposed to take a UEFA C coaching license, but now that that's we don't even know when that's going to happen.
Sure.
So we're kind of, it's all a waiting game over here, just as I'm sure it is in the United States.
Now, when is your graduation year for this program itself? Like, is it?
It's this year. It was only, it's an accelerated master's program, and
Okay.
the master's is accredited in Europe. So it's not the same type of curriculum as it would be in the United States. So it's a little different in that aspect. So I was supposed to graduate May 10th, but I think they pushed it back like a week or two right now.
Okay, gotcha. Now, let's put a little optimistic spin on it. You did say how beautiful the current, you know, where you're living and what you're experiencing. Kind of talk about the cultural difference between United States and Italy. Like, what are some things that has been a huge culture shock, and what are some things that you're kind of bringing along, being like, man, I don't understand why the US doesn't do this here. Like any other experiences that you had?
I would say when I first got here, the culture shock was the slow pace, like lack of urgency. Like I'm from New York, so
Okay.
everything's like go, go, go. And I'm like, I get here and I'm ready to like jump into things. And it's like, when do I do this? When's this? Like, I need a schedule. And like, there's like no like real set schedule. Everyone kind of shows up all, they show up late. That is the worst. There's no like punctuality. Like it's crazy. Like I was like, how does like a country sustain this? But like I've learned to adapt, and it's honestly, it's nice because like so much less stress, and they have so much more emphasis on like connections with like people and family. Like my God, these Italians like love, they love each other like no other. And it's like not that like the Americans like don't love each other, but like they take it to a whole new level. Like dinner all the time, every night together, all the food, the food is so good. Oh my God, I could talk about the food. I haven't had a bad meal, honestly. But yeah, like it was just like a culture shock at first, like with all the different like timing, no punctuality, no schedule, just kind of do what you want. Like I was like, okay, like what am I doing? I don't know. It's like so weird. But yeah, I mean, I've gotten a lot used to it. So I think when I go back to the United States, I'm gonna be like, oh crap, I gotta like actually get there on time and like do these things correctly now. So yeah.
Awesome. I think it's funny when we talk. I know with soccer is a major sport. It's almost a religion where you're currently at. I'm sure you've experienced some culture things with soccer, and I want to call it a religion because that's just how I foresee it as. But I'm sure you were introduced in some of the culture and a little bit more different than Dallas, Pennsylvania, I'm assuming. Is that correct?
Oh my God, don't you? Yes, very different. And it is very closely related to a religion here. These people are crazy. Like
You're one of them.
I know. I've like fallen victim to it. But I did go to one professional game for Roma, and the stadium was electric. Like I have never seen anything like it. And it wasn't even a big game. Like they have this derby between Lazio and Roma, and
Okay.
like people go absolutely insane. Like I was scared to go because there's brawls, there's like people throw like little explosions, like it's crazy. Like these people wave this flag in the air the entire game and just like freak out. Like it's so crazy and like so much love and so much passion behind it. It's like everyone is on the team. It's so cool. Like I love to be around it, but it's also like it's like oh my God, like it's just soccer, but like it really is like a religion to them. It's kind of cool. And the cool thing about I really realized playing for an Italian team, the difference in that. In the United States, we focus a lot on strength. We focus a lot on how much you could lift, like how fast you can go, blah blah blah, like working together as a team. But in Italy, I've noticed that there's so much emphasis on the individual, and it's not it's a lot more technical, if that makes sense. There's a lot of like intricate little tiny things that I've learned here that can like take your game to the next level, which I didn't even think was like a possibility, really. I didn't know anything about the Italian soccer, and it's opened my eyes to a completely different way. So it's really cool in that aspect.
Awesome. Now you kind of have a nice segue for my next question that of course I'm going to ask you. Coming out from New York and heading out to Dallas, PA for Misericordia University for 4 years, playing on the soccer team itself. Of course, I have all the accolades written down here as far as, from soccer. You're a three-time MAC conference champion, 2015 Offensive Player of the Year, 2017 All-American. Amazing goals scored that I still, to this day, anytime I think about Misericordia women's soccer, I always think about the goal that you had in the free kick. I think it was against Wilkes to send it to the
Yeah.
conference finals. Like
That was the conference final, yeah.
that was the conference final. So just all of this stuff in general, but we're going to talk a little bit about how has Misericordia helped you get to where you are today? Whether that's from a soccer perspective, an academic perspective, a culture perspective, what are some things that Misericordia has helped you at least kind of strengthen yourself into where you are today?
Right. Damn, you're really bringing back the glory days.
I know.
So I would go back mostly soccer. My soccer
Sure,
team that I was a part
absolutely.
of has probably the most impact. We had a really, really strong connection as a team. I learned a lot between not only my coaches but my teammates, and we just had a specific bond that like we would do literally anything for each other. Like in the middle of the field, in the middle of the game, if there was a throw-in, we'd talk to each other. Like we'd figure it out. We'd figure it all out, and we'd have each other's back no matter what. And that has taught me so much in the real world. Like it's taught me to value my human connections with people. It's taught me to work hard. It's taught me to be disciplined. And at the end of the day, we had each other's back. We pushed each other past our limits, and that's how I was able to kind of grow into the player and person that I am today, as well as my coach. My coach Stauffer, like, has been there through thick and thin, whether it was personal, whether it was soccer related. Like, he was able to kind of steer me in the right direction and really help my mentality. And as well as some professors, like, I still keep in contact with a few professors, and they've really taught me a lot of life lessons. And not always, it's not always going to be how you really plan for things to turn out, but you end up making it work however you do. And that was some of the most valuable things that I've learned through going through Misericordia.
Absolutely. Now, I think that really is a good perspective into the climate that we're in today. But I certainly, trying to make the best of it. I mean, obviously for us, like we're friends with each other, and it's kind of funny that I see you on social media doing some things, whether that's, and I'm gonna embarrass you, whether that's like makeup tutorials or making. I really I find that you carry that on to the rest of the things that you have going on, but I certainly can tell that the human connections are really a thing. Of course, I know that you kind of answered some of this, but any specific people that you've been in touch with, any alumni, any, you know, any of those professors that you'd like to name? I always say that this is the perfect time to shout people out if you do want to, but, you know, and this is your chance in case you have any.
Yeah. Let's see. I mean, Professor Winokur, I'm sure most of us really know him. He's always been a really cool professor, someone nice to talk to. He's taught me a lot about what I wanted to do with my life. He played soccer, so like we always kind of talked about that. I told him I was doing the finance. He was all about it and stuff, but he also wanted me to kind of keep my options open, and I'm glad that he did do that, because if he didn't, I probably would still be there in like this little annoyed, like miserable life. But now I was able to step away from that and like look at me now. Like I'm in Rome, Italy, like experiencing something that's like literally, besides the coronavirus, like something that no one else really gets the opportunity to. I mentioned Stauffer, Coach Mark Stauffer. I still keep in touch with him like all the time. He's going to help me get a job probably once I'm graduated from this program in the soccer world, because that's what I plan on doing, coaching. Cool. College probably. And then I have all my friends, all my soccer teammates, like Alyssa Pajero, Jackie Stevens, Nicole Palanza, Kristen Ritter, a ton more that I'm not even going to – I could name people for days. But we always have our group chat. We go back and forth. We're talking all the time about stuff. So they're really cool. We always keep in touch. I value them. They're my friends. And I think that we're going to stay friends for a really long time. And that I have to give credit back to Stauffer for that, for – putting together such a good knit, close knit family of soccer teammates. So I got to thank him for that one too.
I think it's funny for at least me, being a 2-time alumnus myself, it's kind of odd not seeing that group on the team anymore. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, I've literally spent my undergraduate career watching you guys, and now to hear that you guys are still the best friends, you still have this group chat going along, you're still keeping in touch, including Coach Stauffer too, you guys are still keeping in touch. There really is a nice camaraderie and a nice team ethic that I think many people can really follow. It's kind of like the USA team back when Jordan and Larry Bird and all of them got together. Like, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, this team is it, but it's more than just it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We were a handful, I will tell you that. There was 16 of us when we came in as freshmen, so, and we all have big personalities, so we kind of like made our ourselves known pretty early on. I mean, you know, we graduated together, so you know how crazy we can all be and how loud and just like out there, outgoing, and it's something that I would literally never change for the world, like ever in a million years. And I'm super, super glad that I ended up going to Misericordia, because literally without them, I don't even know. Like, they've gotten me through so much stuff, whether it was soccer related or personal related. Like, we just adopted each other and became like this really super close family. And I love those girls forever.
Absolutely. Alex, any final thoughts before we end this podcast?
Nothing except just everyone back in the States, stay safe, practice social distancing, get this thing done before it gets too out of hand, and let's fight it before it gets to that level.
Sure. Well, I'm sure that all of our Misericordia alumni, including myself, we all wish you the best of luck currently in your situation.
Thank you.
And, you know, once this is all said and done, we hope you, you know, have safe travels back and you know, you find that next stop, and who knows, you may be on this podcast again talking about your coaching career somewhere else.
Maybe, maybe. Super cool.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Alex, for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a blast.